But a lot of people don't even think about it. They go, they turn the water on, they drink the water, and they don't think any more about it. And again, I go deep into, you know, what it is we put on the end of our fork and how that has a huge impact on disease development in the body.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky. It's wonderful to have you with us. And I have to say, without you, without the audience, without my guests, this show fails to be what it is today. And on the line, I have with me Lola Scarborough. How are you, Lola?
I'm doing great, Rick. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, just the, I guess, the challenges we often face in our day-to-day lives of getting things to happen. And, you know, I think that's probably a good segue to talk about, I guess, your background and as a business owner. But before we jump into that, let's learn a little bit about yourself, Lola.
Well, right now I manage a yoga studio and a wellness business. I've just released my first book about women's breast care health.
Right.
And we have been in business now for almost 11 years. And it's been a really incredible journey and definitely a growth experience in many different ways. I have a background in business. I worked in the business world for 25 years before we embarked on our yoga studio journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought that with me, which has been a real asset in terms of, you know, what we do at the studio and how it flows. So I had a lot of skills that a lot of times yoga studio owners don't have. So that was a real blessing.
I listen to that and I think to myself, it's one thing to be educated and, you know, from an academic standpoint, but it's another thing entirely to take those skills away from, I guess, a typical employment relationship and do it on your own. How did you find that process?
Well, what happened was we bought the yoga studio. I had a full-time job as a project manager at a software company.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hurricane Ike came through and then a recession hit and then I got laid off. And so our yoga studio initially was going to be a retirement dream. We were going to do a slow build on it. We were going to continue. Both of us were going to continue to work. And then, you know, build it up as we went along, but that's not what happened. About 3 months after Ike came through, I was laid off, and there just was no work to be found. And I suddenly realized, okay, it's the yoga studio or bust. And so we began the process of building a yoga studio in a place that wasn't really familiar with yoga,
mm-hmm.
certainly wasn't familiar with the kind I did, and my wellness ideas and my nutritional ideas didn't really fit the environment I lived in. So I had to do a lot of re-educating myself and working with our offerings, and I had to learn how to do marketing, which was a brand new experience for me.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of change who I was. I came from a place where, you know, I went to work, they gave me a paycheck, I came home and life was good, to pretty much a penniless yoga studio owner overnight. It was a culture shock.
Yeah, I bet there was, you know, because of this cultural, I guess, this cultural misalignment in the location that you were now trying to open this wellness studio in. What were some of the key things that you found yourself having to change or adapt to?
One of the things I had to change and adapt to was the way I presented the information that I had.
Right.
In this environment, we're in Texas, and you know there are a lot of people who are heavy meat eaters. I'm a vegetarian. One of the things that I do when I work with people nutritionally is help them move over to a more plant-based diet. And I had to learn that when I first begin to speak with people, don't bring that up. Look at something else when I'm approaching them nutritionally. Look at just bringing more plants in and maybe getting rid of some of the starches and the carbohydrates, but not to talk about even reducing their meat consumption until they got to know me and they understood better the nutritional value of the diets that I propose. I also had to learn to explain that yoga was not a religious practice, because people were terrified that I was taking them into a world where their faith was going to be in jeopardy by doing the yogic practices that we do.
Really?
Yes. Oh, they were. People would call me and after coming to a class, and they'd say, well, I talked to my pastor and he said not to do yoga, that yoga's from the devil. I mean, I heard that so many different times. And so there was also that terrible fear about violating their Christianity. So I had to learn how to explain what yoga was, what its practices did, and to teach people that just because it came from the East, it doesn't involve praying to false gods or worshiping false gods. Mm-hmm, so That was something I had to learn how to do.
So, and how long has this been ongoing for now, since 2008? Is that right?
Yeah. So now we fast forward to the future, and yoga has become very accepted throughout the United States. We still have students who come in who are very nervous about it because of their fear that it will conflict with their faith. But it's become so much more mainstream and so much more accepted now that it's easier when I share information with people for them to feel comfortable. The comfort level happens a lot faster now than it used to. In terms of diets and some of the things that seemed so radical 11 years ago, so many athletes and even politicians, you know, like Bill Clinton, people are adopting a more plant-based diet. So now when I share my ideas, they don't seem as radical and they don't seem as far away from people's understanding of what a healthy diet should be as versus 11 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing how things change, isn't it? Now, the My Future Business audience, Lola, you know, they're business builders, they're entrepreneurs, they're authors. I'd love to talk a little bit about what you took away from your previous corporate life that is still useful for your business practices today.
Many of the things that I took away, I still use. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I couldn't have done this studio without my business experience. First of all, scheduling and managing, mm-hmm. right? Critical aspects of any business. So learn, you know, I knew what I had to do to set up a functional business. I had to have a scheduling system. I had to have routines that were fixed and predictable so that when people came to sign up online, the schedule was stable. I had to have a certain mission or approach to the business that I was offering. I had to understand the pricing guidelines for the area that I was in. Mm-hmm. I knew I had to do marketing. I understood that. You know, and just the day-to-day management of working with contractors. 2 years ago, we took our studio from 1,700 square feet to 2,500 square feet.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of management things that come in, and working with attorneys and setting up the business, you know, setting up the business accounts, working with the CPA. All of those were things because in the early part of my business career, I was a secretary. So I had an understanding of bookkeeping and, you know, the sorts of things that go into managing a business.
There seems to be so many moving parts that a lot of beginner entrepreneurs, particularly, they start out with what they love to do, but they're not necessarily so aware of what they must do to get their business up and running legally, and so it's the most efficient that it can be.
Right.
So I'm looking at your bio here, and I see that Your husband, Kevin, and yourself started this in 2008. Is he still actively involved with the business? What's his part to play?
He absolutely is. He manages our schedule and works with our teachers on getting them all lined up every week so that everything flows. Mm-hmm. He handles the bulk of our financial transactions, and he handles the CPA now. So he does all of that. And then he handles, we have a couple of different kinds of yoga that we offer. And he specializes in the hatha and the hot yoga practices while I do the more spiritual and meditative types of yoga. So we've kind of broken the studio into two subsets. One where people who really only want to do yoga as a physical practice can go. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of Kevin's world. And then my world where people want, you know, a good, strong practice, but they also want to take in some of the deeper aspects of yoga, like mantra and meditation, and sometimes just delving deeper into the spiritual practices of a yoga practice.
Yeah, well, it sounds wonderful. I'm looking through this information here, and I see here comes Hurricane Ike. Now I think of that, and I think from a business standpoint, what is it? What sort of resilience? What sort of a personality? And I guess intestinal fortitude must you have to rebound from such an event like that?
Well, to begin with, you're kind of in it with everybody else.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know not to feel sorry for yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? So the first thing is that whole sense of, oh, why me, poor pitiful me? You don't get to have that experience. But our biggest challenge around that to come in and help us repair some of the damage and to help us get the business footing stabilized, because contractors were in very short supply for almost 3 years.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So that was one of the challenges we had. And of course, people drop off from doing, I'll call it, extracurricular types of things, because all of a sudden their roof got ripped off,
yep.
their furniture got wet,
mm-hmm.
all of their focus of what's happening in their life shifts. And so your whole business model bottoms out. You know, you're looking at a 6 to 9 month recovery period. We went through it again with Harvey. Hurricane Harvey came and decimated the area that we live in. So many people lost their homes. There's so much suffering. We got flooded. The winds were high, but mainly it was the flooding. And so it is taken almost a year and a half for people to get their homes back together and for some of our long-term members to actually start coming back to our studio, because they lost everything.
Yeah, I wonder if the past is any reflection of the future in terms of your environment. Is it something that you can plan for, this sort of thing? And what have you done to look forward in terms of what might happen in the future with your business?
You can't really plan it, because it's a force of nature. And Harvey was so totally unexpected, the kind of flooding that he brought with him. And really, the only thing that you can do from a business standpoint to protect yourself is have a savings.
That's some very useful information for everybody who's listening to the show today. I'd love to talk now about your authorship. Could you share a little bit about that with us?
I can. I've been a writer all of my life,
mm-hmm.
But I finally got around to writing and releasing my first book. And am I allowed to say the title of my book
absolutely.
On the air?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, for sure.
So the title of my book is Fighting for Our Tits. And what it's about is looking into the deeper aspects of how cancer, breast cancer in particularly, can be avoided through lifestyle, exercise, and all kinds of different practices that we can do that give us an advantage over the disease. I go into a lot of different areas that are considered alternative or complementary, that some people embrace and some people don't. Mm-hmm. But things like acupuncture, aromatherapy, yoga, meditation, and talk about the benefits that have been found from a research standpoint to help you remain healthy and whole. And if you do have the misfortune to develop breast cancer, the many different ways you can work with your health while you're undergoing whatever treatment it is that you're deciding to undergo to help you restore yourself to a full state of health. So the book is more about learning new information, really getting a handle on the research that's been done in terms of things that can help prevent breast cancer, as well as things that they believe can help cause breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And the things that you can do, for example, eliminating fluoride from your drinking water as much as possible. Fluoride is a neurotoxin, and they use it in almost all countries now. And it's actually an industrial waste that comes from the runoff of fertilizers. Mm. It is a serious health issue, but a lot of people don't even think about it. They go, they turn the water on, they drink the water, and they don't think any more about it. And again, I go deep into, you know, what it is we put on the end of our fork and how that has a huge impact on disease development in the body. Then I talk about emotions, and I talk about establishing a loving relationship with our breast, because for so many women, they go in for mammograms, mm-hmm. and live in terror at the outcome. Trying to establish a healthy and loving relationship with your breast, I think, is key for our emotional health as women.
Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, from a, I guess, a holistic standpoint, Lola, you know, you can't have anything in isolation, your mind, body, or your spirit, to be, I guess, healthy overall, can you?
No, they all work together.
And I think with that in mind, you touched on our diet a little earlier. And, you know, I think about all of the fast foods, the high processed foods, the all of these different choices that we have. Do you talk about that in any great depth at all in terms of your diets inside of your book and how to move away from, I guess, consumption of highly processed foods?
I do. I talk about food quite a bit. I have a whole chapter on nutrition.
Right.
And I talk about fast foods. And I also talk about, you know, if you're getting ready to transition, let's say, from a fast food diet, mm-hmm. or moving over to a more whole foods diet where it's not just meat and potatoes and carbs, you're actually incorporating vegetables and grains and a more balanced diet. In the appendix, I give links where you can go and you can see how to make that transition and how easy it is. And I talk about organic foods as versus non-organic. And I know for a lot of people, their budgets just don't allow them to purchase a lot of organic food. But what you can do is you can get almost any vegetable can be well washed and well cleaned.
Yeah.
And so you can buy produce from the grocery store, clean it up, and then cook it. And it's just so much better for you to eat your own food.
Absolutely. You know, I just recall just quickly when I was growing up, we used to pick our own mushrooms and do very much all of that on our own. And the food just seems so much more nutrient rich than what you can buy off any supermarket shelf.
Yeah, when I go to the grocery stores here and I grew up in the country.
Yep.
So I had an abundance of fresh foods picked straight from the field that I helped, you know, hoe the ground for and plant the seeds for and mm-hmm. harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what real food tastes like.
Yeah, me too. Yes, absolutely. It's wonderful, isn't it?
It is, and it's so different than what you get on the grocery store shelves. But, you know, I think you make do with what you have. You get the best that you can, that you're able to get. You bring it home. And I also believe in the power of prayer and gratitude mm-hmm. for increasing the nutrition of your food. So I tell people, you know, pray over it, you know, send your gratitude to it. And that makes the food that much healthier for you to eat.
That's just some wonderful insights. We've talked about business. We've talked about breast care. We've talked about nutrition, all sorts of different topics on the show today. Now, Lola, when people want to contact you online, where will they go?
I have two websites. Probably the easiest one to contact me from is my Yoga Lola website. So it's Yoga Lola, all one word, .com. And they can find my email address and my phone number there.
That's fantastic. Well, look, for everybody who has been on the call today, make sure that you reach out to Lola. I'll be making all of the links available around this post. Lola, it's been an absolute treat having you on the My Future Business Show with me today.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's been a joy.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.